for the first time here? Two. Three. How many have come more than five times? Okay. So what's happening?
Governor Tangu yesterday told that if he cannot pick him up, then he'll go back to Mangalore to stay coming tomorrow morning. Because he says he has no money or anything to stay in Udupi.
Where is he right now?
He's on the way to Udupi, I mean, coming on the way.
He's on the bus?
Yeah, so when I told him I won't be able to go back, and he says, no, then I'll go back, I'll get down and go back home, stay there, and come tomorrow morning.
Yeah, but by the time he comes tomorrow morning, and what time is he expected to arrive in Udupi?
No?
Yeah.
No, I do not know. He's supposed to be at around 8:15.
It takes at least 45 minutes to go there, no? Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you think he can go and come back. I mean, for him to go back to Mangalore is not very fun.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah. These are flowers from Manipal. They're not from our garden. So welcome to our Sahyadri Krishna, Sri Krishna Balaram Kshetra. I understand that you're staying overnight, right? Yeah. What time are you planning to return tomorrow?
After the morning program.
Okay. We'll just extend our morning program. Our morning program, we have a somewhat compressed morning program. Because the devotees have to milk the cows. The cows, they cannot wait for so long. But anyways, yeah, we have regular Mangal Arati at 4:30 and then going till about 6:30, 7 o'clock. Anyways, we can see tomorrow morning. So I understand also you, yeah, still have to take prasadam. So don't want to, maybe we'll spend half an hour together and try to maybe read a little something from Bhagavad Gita and see if there's any questions from any of you as well. So just very briefly, yeah, chant Jai Radha Madhava, and then yeah, we'll choose maybe one verse. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone knows Jai Radha Madhava.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hari
Radha Madhava. Radhika Chandra Stotra Sutta Sri Samari Tavan Great Silaboy Charanar in the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sila Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Nanta Koti by Shalavin Niki
Jai
Founder Charya Sivan Great Sila Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Nama Charya Sri Lahridas Thakur Ki
Jai
Samavata Bhakti Vedin Niki
Jai
Nama Sankirtan Ki
Jai
Antarajman Bhagavatam Ki
Jai
Jai Nithai Gaura Timanati
Hare
All glories to the assembled devotees
Hare Krishna
All glories to the assembled devotees
Hare Krishna
All glories to the assembled devotees
Hare Krishna
all glories to Sri Guru to Sri Gauranga all glories to Srila Prabhupada
Hare
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Mukham karoti vachalam pagvam nangayate girim yatkripa tamaham bande sri gurum dinataranam yatkripa tamaham bande sri gurum dinataranam So I was thinking that actually normally in the evening we read from Bhagavad Gita but we will not directly read from Bhagavad Gita, but we will speak about something in relation to Bhagavad Gita. Just I'm curious to know, probably everyone has some books of ISKCON. Yeah. Have any of you ever read what is called Essay on Gita Nagari. Has anyone heard of this? That's the problem. You have.
You've heard of it.
You've heard about it. What have you heard about it?
I scanned it in the Vedavis.
Scanned it, huh?
I mean, no, I just saw the book.
Yeah, okay. But you've not, you didn't get a chance to read it. You've come across it, you've seen it on display. This evening we'll speak a little bit about this actually very important essay written by Srila Prabhupada many, many years ago. Actually, way before he came to America. It's important to understand that it is not only when Srila Prabhupada landed in U.S. that he started thinking about spreading Krishna consciousness. It was planned since many, many years, practically speaking, since the time he had met his own spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who had ordered, as you all know, Srila Prabhupada to go to the Western countries and spread the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English-speaking world, which he did, of course, in a very exemplary manner. So, although Srila Prabhupada was a householder, he was very much meditating about the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and about the mission of his spiritual master. So, I think many of you have know that in 1944, means when Prabhupada was 48 years old, right, still relatively young, he started his Back to Godhead magazine. So, in this Back to Godhead magazine, he would write various articles and in relation to Krishna consciousness. And one time, that means 12 years after establishing or starting the Back to Godhead magazine. His name's in 1956. Srila Prabhupada, he printed one essay in his Back to Godhead magazine, the title of which was Essay on Gita Nagari. So, you're all from India, you should all know or understand what is the meaning of Gita Nagari. Let's try it out. What is, according to, okay, you're the closest here. What is the meaning of Gita Nagari?
The city where Gita is known to everyone.
Where Gita is?
Gita Nagari. Where Gita is spoken or
is spoken, yes, yes. That place, that city or that town or that village where the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita are followed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in that spirit, Srila Prabhupada wrote quite extensive essay. Mm-hmm. And in that essay he actually gave the gist of the Hare Krishna movement, you see. Again, excuse me, some living entity, not the same one. He gave the gist of how he would actually introduce the Hare Krishna movement, or how it should be introduced in the future, and he describes in that essay how there will be, actually Prabhupada mentions two things, two important things that need to be established in the very beginning when building up such a place or building up such a community. So who can guess what one of those two things may be? Like if you were assigned, if you were to go somewhere and start a community and where many people would come to live, and the main goal and objective naturally would be to develop one's spiritual life, what would be the two important things that you would want to do, that you would want to establish? Any idea? So what does that mean? Harinam Sankirtan means many things. It means chanting the holy name, it means, you know, ISKCON society, it means Harinam Sankirtan, Lord Chaitanya's movement. So maybe like more specifically, more specifically. Naturally that would be there.
Pleasing Krishna is the goal of everyone.
Yes, of course, pleasing Krishna. You don't want to displease Krishna. So everything that one would do, but what would be some of those things? Two things especially.
Varnian ashram.
Huh?
Varnian ashram, set up a society.
more specific actually, that's also very vague. I mean, vague, very, very broad, not so vague actually, because it's quite, you know, specific in terms of varnas and ashram. So, this will be your important lesson on Gita Nagari this evening. Prabhupada mentions the first thing that needs to be done in the community is to establish a temple where the Lord is placed on the altar, and where every day the residents of that community, they come to offer their obeisances, just like Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, manmanam bhavamam bhaktu mam yadi mam namaskaru. These are the activities of devotees. In other words, those who will be living in that community will be centered on worshipping Krishna, Lord Krishna. That's why in the essay on Gita Nagari, Srila Prabhupada, he named, let's see if you can guess, which deities. He named the deities. He named one, just like we have deities all over the world. Sri Sri Radha, Govinda, Sri Sri Radha, Gopinath. Which deity did Prabhupada establish in his essay on Gita Nagari?
Jagannath.
No, 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 I gave the hint. Sri Sri Radha something. Yeah. Well, I guess not having read the essay is like a wild guess. He named the deity that we have in Delhi. Because Krishna, as a chariot driver, speaks the Bhagavad Gita right here on the front page, on the cover. So, very befittingly, Srila Prabhupada chose those deities in his essay on Gita Nagari. So, the first thing to establish a temple, isn't it? Where one will have facility, all the members actually. I was relating the other day how in Bali, in Indonesia, not very long ago, maybe it is also followed here in India, I don't know, but if somebody wants to be part of a village, that was a few years ago, one of our devotees was relating, if anyone wanted to, let's say, move in that village or be part of that village, he had to agree, the whole family, had to agree to attend the temple function. It means you can't live in our village if you don't go to the temple, if you don't bow down every day. Prabhupada relates a nice story how probably this was in Calcutta. His parents knew various, you know, aristocratic families, and Prabhupada was relating how in one family, all the members of the family, before they went out of the house every day, they had to bow down in front of the deity. They had to go to the temple, visit the temple. And if somehow or other they were either too busy or they forgot, then they had to pay a fine. You know, that they were probably from Vaishya community, so you know, they fixed the mother actually fixed up this program. So that is the first thing mentioned actually in Gita Nagari, in the essay on Gita Nagari. So now that you know the first one, this should help you to understand what should be the second. Maybe it's not so obvious, but what is the second most important thing that Srila Prabhupada emphasized after building a temple?
Society dependent on land and house.
That is there. Naturally, if you're living in a village, you're going to have land. Your whole village is surrounded by land, and land traditionally, yes, cannot be cultivated unless one has cows. We have some unexpected guests. Or sometimes unwanted guests. So Srila Prabhupada, he mentions that one should establish educational facilities, school. Because you're going to have, isn't it, children are going to be raised in that community, and they need to be educated in the science of Krishna consciousness. So school facilities. School, of course, in the traditional context means Gurukul. Mm. Means Gurukul, traditional education. So in this way, if these two elements are there, because within our Vedic culture, education is very closely or intimately connected also with the temple. Real education actually begins by accepting that God exists in the myth, and by engaging in His devotional service. On a number of occasions, Srila Prabhupada, he would emphasize this very simplified lifestyle. When Prabhupada spoke about Gita Nagari, he spoke of a community where life was very simple, simplified, where education also, this should be this should be of interest to those who are students nowadays. Education in the Vedic, in the context of Vedic culture, is meant to be extremely simple. Modern education is like, I think, the opposite. very complicated, actually. Very stressful. You probably know all the adjectives that we could, that we could add to modern education. It is also very, yeah, Prabhu? It is also very artificial, because generally education is conducted in a kind of unnatural environment. Education is a very important topic, and Srila Prabhupada, he actually wanted that we establish in all of our centers, in all of our temples, in all of our communities, what he termed as Varnashram colleges. What's a Varnashram college supposed to do?
Teach people how to live in a Varnashram.
How to live?
How to live with the principles of Varnashram.
Yeah. What are the principles of Varnashram?
You have Varna and Ashram. Society is divided into four Varnas.
Yes.
And we have the four Ashrams.
Yes.
So we have to follow them.
Yes. They teach any of this at college? No. If they teach anything, they teach to reject. Or they teach the flaws that are there, possibly, and the what they term as the what is it, caste system?
Caste.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they have some other terminology. Like caste system. Yeah? So the caste system is in India something that most people, I think, don't think so highly about, is it? Yeah. So if somebody gives argument to you that why you want to maintain this caste system where there is social injustice between different castes, what you will reply?
It's already there. It's a natural system itself.
It's a natural system.
Even though if you don't accept, suppose if I take any institution, that thing is, I mean, it's there, but they don't recognize it. Because we take a hospital like there, there's the intelligent people who are the doctors, and they have the supporting people, they have the security, and they have the cleaners.
Yes. But generally people will point out to the different abuses that are there. For example, people who are Brahmanas, often they take advantage of their Brahmin thread to lord it over other people. Actually, it is a very big topic, which generally doesn't fit so well in our modern concept of life. But actually, a very important topic. The project that we have here, actually, in we call it Krishna Balaram Kshetra, is meant to provide information about the importance or the necessity of establishing Varnashram. which in turn can facilitate individuals to practice spiritual life. So the problem begins at this point, actually. That means generally in modern society, people are less attracted to or less inclined to practicing spiritual life, or many people don't, you know, I mean, don't even believe in God. So that is like the beginning point, that basic understanding has been there, especially in India, right? The land of India is called the land of the land of Dharma, the land of religiosity, where people in the past have come from different countries, different cultures, to imbibe, so to speak, the knowledge, especially spiritual knowledge that originates here from India. So it means that actually India as a country, and that means those who are living in India, especially those such as yourselves who are part of the younger generation, have a very a great, we could say, responsibility to try and understand what India can actually provide to the rest of the world. Some years back, when Srila Prabhupada was with us, he was having a meeting. He was going to meet with Indira Gandhi, and one of the proposals was that India, as a country, officially adopt the, you know, the Bhagavad Gita and teach it, you know, to the people in general all over the world. So Srila Prabhupada was very eager to impress upon. In the beginning, it was very difficult. When Prabhupada came back from America, there were practically no one, you know, no Indian people were joining at that time. It took a number of years. It took a while, actually, for people from India to kind of like wake up to that reality, that here was a movement, here was an individual who was attracting so many people from other countries around the world. Of course, since then, many people from India have come forward, have joined, and are preaching quite actively. But it is such a large, such a big mission, actually, Krishna consciousness mission, that it requires a lot more people. Not that everybody has to, you know, move in the temple and shave up. One can become a full-time devotee by being committed full-time, so to speak, you see, in whatever position one may be, in whatever profession one may take up. The important thing is to become committed to the cause of Krishna consciousness, understand its urgency, actually, all over the world, and try to be to become an instrument in assisting Srila Prabhupada, and who is actually representing all the previous acharyas. It's very difficult because the whole atmosphere in which we are living is not very encouraging, not very conducive to that. So therefore, one has to become very, very determined. One has to take the time to read and keep in contact with Srila Prabhupada's, you know, books, instructions, hear his, you know, lectures, and keep in regular contact with the devotees. if one does that, then one can, Krishna will inspire an individual how, you know, one can be somehow or other involved or engaged in some kind of activity. So we're happy that that you are visiting today and possibly in the future at some time. We have we're discussing right now. It just so happens that we're having like our annual meeting this weekend. So because of that, we could not all be attending the function a little earlier. But there are a number of things being planned for this particular project here, and those who are in Manipal, like all of you and others, it's like it can be a very good opportunity to be involved in different ways. We very much welcome your participation. There's one of the things we want to start, we're discussing right now, beginning to plan is what I mentioned a little earlier, Varnashram College. Not a college as we traditionally understand, you know, big structure, big buildings, but when we look more closely at the whole concept of Varnashram, society, the society of Varnashram is actually a way of life. And that way of life, which is what we call a Vedic culture, based on the four varnas, the occupational duties and the spiritual activities of individuals within the society, when one analyzes these two divisions closely, one can begin to understand how that whole process in itself is an educational institution. It is the ideal educational institution, which is complete in itself. So there are two levels, although education in a very broad way, within the Vedic context, education covers everything. And from beginning of life right up until the end, you know. Or like the saying is there that life is education and education is life, you see. But there are two main divisions. Two main divisions means when one is younger, quite young, Gurukul level, which generally starts, can start even from the age of 5 up until 12 or so. And then Srila Prabhupada explained Varnashram College, where one takes up training in his particular Varna. And Varnas in the Vedic culture are for boys. Varnashram College, the public explains, because we don't have any Matajis here, so there's no big controversy. unless, you know, somebody may want to. Somebody may want to speak up for them. he stated that the Varnashram College will be only for boys only. Means not for girls. In the Vedic culture, and naturally this is a point of contention, and it's good to talk about it because it needs to be clarified. It needs to be clarified, it needs to be properly understood. Why is it, the question will naturally come, why is it that in the Vedic culture girls are not, well, we could say just plain, girls are not sent to school, or at least not sent to Gurukul. Why is it? Who can say?
Is it considered more important for her to learn the skills of the household than, because she's dependent on her husband, like, husband's duty is to take her back to Godhead, so.
You've been reading too many books at Prabhupada. Well, what you're saying is, of course, true. Yeah, actually, education is there, but it's a different kind of education. What we generally don't know or don't understand is that varnas are for men. Varna means profession. occupational duty, profession. Just like the main, you know, the four varnas are actually identifying specific professions of different classes of people according to their propensity, according to their natural propensity. So varnas are actually not for women. You know, if we take the varna of a kshatriya, it is more easy to understand, or even that of Vaishya. You know, farmers plowing the field are generally men. Kshatriyas riding horses or whatever, or fighting, are generally men. Of course, nowadays they kind of like, in the name of women's liberation, many women are in the armed forces. You know, we see them on the corner streets of Delhi, or city, you know, that they're controlling traffic. You know, of course, now women, in the name of liberation, are also, you know, working on the roadside, which is, I feel, really bad. Isn't it? I mean, in the name of liberation or equality, now we have women, working like men, and associating with men, and this is very, very unhealthy and very unjust. Also, but, I mean, many women, if they had if their situation was better, they would not, you know, accept such kind of work. Very often it's because of their material situation. You know, they're forced, they're not supported properly, the society is not facilitating or supporting, and therefore, just to, maybe they have a child or a few children, just to maintain themselves and maintain their family, they have to work in very unhealthy and very undesirable, you know, conditions. So it's a very this so-called equality, that question very often comes up. You know, do you believe in equality of men and women? What would be your answer? What is your answer? Are men and women equal?
Yes and no.
Men themselves are not even equal. Among men, you know, we're all different, actually. So, these things cannot be, cannot or should not be understood simply with our material, you know, intelligence. They need to be understood in the spiritual context. In the spiritual context, and that's part of the problem today is that people are, isn't it, giving less importance to spirituality, etc. So, because your time here this weekend is very short, maybe we'll just take a few minutes. If you have any questions on either this topic that we discuss this evening, or any other burning question that may be in your mind, or maybe not burning, but just anything. It's also not a problem if you don't have any questions.
Maharaj, for men, varna was decided on the basis of their ability. And for women,
yes.
How was it decided? They are not doing any of
same, the same ability. What is the natural ability for women? Is it the natural? Is it the natural ability for women to fight, to argue? Oh, of course they do argue. But it's not meant to be a profession, you know. Nowadays, some women become lawyers. You know, it's a good outlet for them. You know, to argue. But women, and this, the same principle is there. Men, based on their abilities, then their work is determined. Women, based on their abilities, their work is also determined, and that work is basically in connection with traditionally, when the system of varnashram is properly set up, it becomes clear and obvious that their duty, their work, is in connection with children, with house, with looking after the husband in different ways like that. Mm-hmm. Because women, by nature, are meant to be dependent. I mean, ultimately, we are all dependent. Men are also dependent on the Lord. Listen. Women are more dependent because of their physical and psychological makeup as well. So we go by nature, by people's natures, you see. There may be some exceptions, there's always some exceptions in any situation, but in general, the nature of women is to be dependent and to be serving under a qualified husband. The big problem nowadays is that there are few qualified husbands. So that's one reason why women are forced to try to be independent, but they cannot because that's not their nature. So that's why we have so many problems. One of the reasons, so many problems with that. So to help resolve that, those problems, I mean, that's why it's important for men to become properly qualified both materially and spiritually, to fit in their proper varna, and then by understanding their varna, understanding their asram, varna and asram, very closely, scientifically connected actually.
Whereas we have a reference of when Maharaj Yudhishthir was going to be crowned.
Yes.
At that time, Karna came, and Arjuna was showing his skills.
Yes.
And Karna came at the same time.
Yes.
And he was not allowed to fight with, compete with Arjuna.
Yes.
Because he belonged to a son of a charioteer.
Yes.
He was a son of a charioteer. That's why he was not allowed to compete. Even that time, people were not judged on the basis of their merit, but on the basis of caste.
Yes, because there are various rules and regulations that apply within the Vedic context. For example, even within our ISKCON society, if you're not twice initiated, you cannot go on the altar. You may be a very good devotee, you may be very honest, you may be have all kinds of good qualities, but if you don't have a Brahmin thread, if you're not a second initiated, certain activities you cannot do. So in those days, there were rules of that nature as well. If you're not each caste, each varna had certain rules and regulations. So that is just to keep certain kind of order. It does not necessarily affect the the value, the ultimate value of that individual. But of course, that was used in that case to bar. because Karna was very proficient in archery, so that was used to bar him. But it was a legitimate excuse in that certain rules and regulations need to be respected in order that the society function in a proper way. when we introduce the level or the aspect of Krishna consciousness, because up to now we've been speaking, let's say, of Vanasram, Srila Prabhupada, he introduced or refers to Daivi Vanasram, divine Vanasram, or Vanasram, where the basis, the common denominator, is bhakti, or devotional service to Krishna.